Well, I am glad that you like the title, You Cannot Tame the Wind, because it's the actual title of my message, not what you see printed in the bulletin. So my message today is, You Cannot Tame the Wind. Our modern day sensibilities have tried to domesticate the spirit, and that's no small feat. You really can't blame us for trying to do that. We tend to like things done on time and in order. And if they are not, we can find ourselves thinking of those particular things as inadequate or disrespectful or indecent or inconvenient or just plain useless. Now, in the Presbyterian Church, we are particularly serious about this. When we talk about ourselves, the phrase decently and in good order tends to be a thought that is seen as a very positive descriptor. Whether we're speaking about our book of order or our order of worship, the Spirit has found very little room in the Presbyterian tradition. Like the larger Protestant movement, we've managed to sort of artificially domesticate the Spirit. The thought of a God whose Spirit stirs things up, not to mention stirs us up, that leaves many of us feeling sort of uncomfortable. The thought of a God whose Spirit brings new life where once there had been none seems to act outside of contemporary scientific realities. The thought of a God whose Spirit is not interested in the status quo with how things are, how things have been, or even how things we might want them to be. Well, that leaves most of us feeling unsettled, uneasily, and certainly uninspired. The problem is, even with all of our subtle attempts, or not so subtle attempts, to domesticate the Spirit, we have biblical stories saying that the Spirit of God is unruly, unexpected, unconventional, and frankly unconcerned with what we might consider to be decent and in good order. We prefer to sing, Spirit, Spirit of gentleness. But biblically, the Spirit is the wind who grappled with what the Hebrew describes as the tohu wabohu in Genesis, the chaos out of which the world was formed. By the power of the Spirit, the Ruha, the breath of God, made a world that was in and of itself ordered chaos. The Spirit, it would seem, is not afraid of a little mess, not afraid to mix things up, and is willing to expect a remarkable, possibly even unexpected outcome. It would seem that you cannot tame the wind. Our reading today is not a story about gentleness. And I'd say that it's not just because of the rushing wind or the tongues of fire, or even that everyone understood each other's languages. To understand the unruliness of the Spirit, to truly understand how the Spirit stirs up the status quo, we have to go back further in our story than we began today. After the chaos of the last week, several weeks, after the crucifixion of Jesus, of seemingly ridiculous reports that Jesus had returned from the dead, after the risen Christ visits the disciples, and after Christ ascends into heaven, his followers, not so surprisingly, try to get things back to normal. You know, decently, good order. What they failed to learn in the time that they had spent with Jesus was that the Spirit does not fit neatly into human expectations with the status quo. The apostles rejoin other believers in Jerusalem. They establish an orderly and apparently secluded community life centered on prayer. Peter efficiently takes the necessary steps to replace Judas, thereby mending the circle and establishing the correctness of his own leadership. Decent and in good order, right? Things seem to be proceeding in a methodological fashion, right up to the opening verse of Act 2, where today's reading picked up. Suddenly all chaos breaks loose. Sound overwhelms the room as a violent wind rushes in. Tongues of fire reach out to take hold of people. If the speech that comes from a foreign believer, from believers is foreign, it's simultaneously understood by all who are present, though the walls can't even contain the people or the spirit that moves them. With this sort of instantaneous shifting of setting, they are struck by the spirit and thrust out into the public view. And the first chapter's image of order that we have in Acts is shattered. It would seem you cannot tame the wind. It's not surprising with scenes like this and the one from Genesis that we feel the need to tame the spirit, to domesticate it, to make it a little more civilized. We want to harmonize the spirit, make it safe and pleasing to the ear. Spirit, spirit of gentleness. We want to make the spirit, the coming of the spirit, a private act, a gift bestowed on certain individuals as a result of their own merit. Or others try to institutionalize Pentecost as the church's birthday. And in this perspective, since the spirit moves in relation to the church's own procedures quickly become the chief means for the spirit's activity. And the spirit is viewed then as part of the institution itself. Sometimes to the point of actually putting polity over people. Both approaches, focusing on individual gifts as an action of the Spirit or focusing on the institutional elements of the Spirit, they're nothing more than our feeble attempts to move Pentecost off of the streets of Jerusalem and back indoors where things are safe and secure and measured. They are simply attempts to control the unpredictable nature of the Spirit by confining it in a controlled environment, by domesticating it. You see, out in the open, out in the streets, people will ask questions and jeer and demand an explanation. It just makes sense to pack up that kind of divergence, that kind of unruliness, that kind of audacity, to pack it up in a box so that we can bring it out at our convenience and for our own purposes. Heaven forbid the Spirit move us to do something with which we're uncomfortable. Heaven forbid the Spirit move us as the Spirit wills. Packing it up, making it more civilized, that'll certainly take care of that. The question that we have to ask ourselves on this Pentecost day, and every Pentecost day for that matter, is in churches throughout the U.S. and around the world, in this church here today, which spirit are we really celebrating? As we've seen, Pentecost is not an event to be approached lightly. The Spirit is somewhat cranky and given to doing its own thing. Or as it says in the Gospel of John, the wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. And as I've been saying, it would seem you cannot tame the wind. Which spirit do we celebrate today? The one we as a society have created out of our own needs, the gentle one that plays nice and gives us warm fuzzies? Or are we willing to celebrate the spirit of the biblical text? One that is willing to grapple with chaos, one that is unruly, unexpected, unconventional, and unconcerned with what we consider to be decent and in good order. Which one will we truly celebrate? The one that allows us to feel safe because of its gentleness. In that gentleness, it would never push us outside of our comfort zones. Or the one that challenges us to put our trust fully in God, to step out into places that are seemingly chaotic, yet full of possibility. It's interesting to see all of the smiling faces looking back at me at the end of each service as I give the final blessing. May the Spirit move you as the Spirit will. Next time you hear that blessing, think to yourself, which spirit am I expecting a blessing from? The one that is decent and in good order, or the one that's unconventional and unexpected? In answering that, keep in mind that it would seem you cannot tame the wind.